got to have a clear vision. You got to clearly see where the goal is, what you're supposed to become, what you're supposed to accomplish. After you have the vision, you have to put daily action towards it every single day.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy. Gino Barber, Gino, how's it going?
Jake, got home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Thanks to Allegiant Airlines. They stink. God. Terrible. Cancel a flight. What is the customer experience? What is the customer journey? Let me and the five kids sitting in the airport at 7 o'clock. And you know what? Not all bad. God gave me a lemon. I made lemonade out of it because I went to Jake's house, spent another day. Cost me a little bit more money, but I had an awesome day. Managed right this past weekend. Hung out with the students. It was really a fantastic weekend. I'm tired, but I am so excited to be on this week's show because we have got Mr. Jesse on. We're going to introduce him, but he is the multifaceted king. He's got multiple businesses going on. And you know what? He's got multifamily on the radar, Jake. So I think that's the next venture.
Okay, we're bringing it back around here to some sanity because the Gino, the G-Dad just lost it. But as he said, our guest today went from a D1 college football player to a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy and is now the only driver in NASCAR at the national level that has ever served his country and still does. Oh man, we got to change that. He's become a successful entrepreneur and has shown us that if you work hard and invest in yourself, you can make it happen. M-I-H, baby. So without further ado, Jesse Awuji, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, man. I played football my entire youth, played a little in college. I never thought about becoming a NASCAR driver. So before we get into the real estate stuff, football to NASCAR, man, you got to unpack that. How'd that work?
Yeah, it's definitely a different story, that's for sure. For me, I've always had a passion for cars and racing throughout my whole life. But, you know, as a kid, I didn't really have the opportunity to do it because I didn't really come from a racing background. I didn't come from a racing family. Both of my parents immigrated from Nigeria to the U.S. back in the 80s. And back in Nigeria, we don't have car racing. They have foot racing. You know, they're really fast. So I got, that's why I have fast genes inside of me. That's why I ran track in college, high school and all that stuff. But we didn't have racing in our background. So for some reason I had this passion for it. I don't know what it was. I think maybe the show Knight Rider back when I was like 5 years old, I used to watch it. Maybe
I was that like, got is like it. Days of Thunder coming out here. I was waiting for something, right? You know,
it wasn't even day. I didn't watch Days of Thunder until probably like college, maybe. It took a while. So, but it was something about that, you know, Speed Racer, the cartoon, all that stuff. It just got me into it. And I liked it a lot. I don't know why, but, once again, I didn't have the means of doing it. So I did what I could do, which was play football. And I played football through high school, got better and better throughout high school. I grinded to get better because I wasn't good at first and eventually landed myself a scholarship to go to the Naval Academy and play football there. And
what position did you play?
Played safety right. at the academy, ran track there all 4 years also, graduated in 2010, became a surface warfare officer in the Navy. And I've been in the Navy the last 11 years and I was active duty for the first seven. In that time, I was on two different ships, went on a couple different deployments. And then when I transitioned from sea duty to shore duty, I had a little bit more free time and I decided, hey, I'm not playing football anymore. I really like cars and racing. I have some fast cars. Let me take these cars to the track. You know, so I used to start taking them to these open track days that anyone
can go
to.
Fast and Furious. We got Vin Diesel down here, Gino.
you know, so I was doing that and then taking the cars to the track. And it's something that anyone could do. You could take any of your cars to the track too. And I was doing that. And then after a couple of years of doing that, I finally just made this decision that I wanted to go after professional racing while still serving in the Navy. And I know I had never been done before, but I already clearly saw the vision in my head. Already clearly saw that the deal was done. Like I had already saw myself walking out from driver intro, seeing 50, 60, 70,000 fans in the stands, you know, cheering. Like I saw that. So I was like, since I already see it, that means it's already done. So why wouldn't I go after it? Like, the goal is already done. It's already out there. I don't know how to get there exactly, but it's there. So just keep grinding and I'll get there, you know? And I'm a firm believer that, you know, life rewards those who stay strong enough long enough. So throughout this entire journey, the last 5, 6 years now, I've been grinding my way through the ranks, you know, finally got myself into racing in 2015 and started working my way up. And a lot of it was made possible by me putting on my entrepreneurial hat and finding a way to make extra income on the side of, you know, serving, you know, in the Navy, because, you know, Navy pay it's good, but it's not enough to start racing in NASCAR, because you need money to get, you know, equipment to race with the teams and all that stuff. So what I did was, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to start my own business on the side that will help supplement some of these costs, these expenses that are occurring for me to, you know, actually go after.
Is the car like $2 million or something? How much is a car?
No, they're not $2 million. Man, if they're $2 million, then none of us would be in this.
How much is a car?
So a race car, it just depends. You know, if you get a used one, it could be as low as $50,000 or so, $40,000-$50,000. If you get one that's completely brand new, it's probably $100,000 or so, maybe a little bit more. But the thing is, I don't own my own team yet. I'm working on that.
Ooh,
but,
like, he sees it, you know, he knows where he's going.
Yeah, but the team, typically they have all this stuff, they have all the equipment, they're already set. So typically what will happen is a driver will come race for the team, and either the driver will bring in their own funding, whether from their rich parents, or they own some business or whatever, and they have a lot of money, or they have sponsorship, you know, some other company believes in them and wants to pour into them because they see the driver as a very good marketing tool for the company. So one of those few ways is how drivers typically get in the race car, because a team, unfortunately, they can't just go to the racetrack without any kind of funding, because that will only last for so long before you go out of business, because you don't have enough revenue coming in. Mm-hmm.
So Jesse, you said you put your entrepreneurial cap on. How did you do that? Because the Navy really, a lot of times, doesn't foster entrepreneurial spirit, taking that risk out. How did you do that?
There's a few ways. So initially, when I got into wanting to start my own business, it was because one of my other friends who was also in the Navy with me had his own business in the past and was getting ready to launch another one. So he had started a company called Run for Your Lives. It was this running event where they were doing, like, really interesting stuff with it. And, like, you know, it wasn't like an obstacle course thing, but they were doing some interesting stuff where there was just more than just a 5K run. Like, they were making it, like, really, really fun. And you're going through these different things, being chased by monsters, whatever. They were doing something cool. So anyways, they're doing that, and it went well. But then he made some management mistakes on how they were going to spend the money and how they're going to do this and that and reinvest in the company. And then they ended up going bankrupt, but he learned from it. Because he learned how to take a company from nothing to something, and he learned what happens when you do the wrong things and it heads down. So from there, he was getting ready to launch another one. Me and him were on the ship together. We were on the same watch team together. We were both officers. And, you know, when we would come off a watch, we'd always talk about, like, different things. And I would keep on telling him about, yeah, I want to get into racing. I want to be a professional race car driver, but I got to figure out a way to, like, make extra money to do it, because I'm just not able to find sponsorship right now because I'm, like, a newbie and nobody knows me. So he was like, you should start your own business and, like, use that as a way to make some extra money. So he would teach me all these different business techniques, teach me things about the mistakes he learned or he made so that I could learn from them, so I wouldn't make the same mistakes. And he's what really kind of fostered that, you know, get my own business thing going. And I guess I was comfortable with even getting into that too, because both of my parents had their own small businesses also outside of their normal day jobs. So I had seen my parents be able to juggle both. I saw my mom work 12 hours a day as a nurse at the hospital, and then also work, you know, 7-8 hours running her store that she had, a party supply store. And she would literally work all those hours, you know, 18, 19, 20.
How valuable was that though? I mean, having that kind of influence in your life, that had to leave a huge impression on you.
Yeah, very big impression. You know, that's all part of the reason why I believe that anything's possible, because I saw my parents, you know, go from nothing to something. They came from Nigeria to the U.S. with nothing, and then built themselves up and was able to, you know, have better lives through just hard work and effort. It had nothing to do with having any crazy talents or anything. It was just straight up like, I'm going to go work hard and grind, and then because of it, the fruits of the labor will come, and they're proof of it.
So other than working hard, what other skills do you see that an entrepreneur needs, or what skills did you have, you know, to take the entrepreneurial leap? And all the listeners out there going, well, you know, Jesse did it, Jake's doing it, but how do I do it? What do I need?
So anybody can do it as long as their mindset is in the right place. So that's one thing that, you know, if you can go on YouTube all day and listen to, oh, here's the 5 steps to go make $1 million, what are all the crap that people put out. So the best way is, the one, you got to get your mindset in the right place. You got to have your mindset in a place where you are willing to put everything on the line and completely willing to lose it all, and continue to grind and pivot and figure out what you got to do to get it back. once your mind is there, then you are in the place that you need to be as far as mindset wise. Now, moving forward from there, you got to have a clear vision. You got to clearly see where the goal is, what you're supposed to become, what you're supposed to accomplish. After you have the vision, you have to put daily action towards it every single day. You can't just do it here or there or whatever, or oh, not feeling that it's working, whatever, I'm going to stop. No. Every single day, daily actionable.
That's it,
steps.
Right there, Jesse. Where so many people lose, and I joke about this all the time with Gino and myself, because it took us 2 years to get our first deal in multifamily. Okay, 2 years. You know how many people quit within 2 years because it's just it's a pie in the sky. It's not real. It's so cliche, but that staying power, that peskiness of just keep stepping back up to the plate, keep taking at bats. So many people miss on that. And that is, especially in this business, right? In multifamily, the difference between Jake and Gino having 0 units to now having over $100 million in assets. Listen to what this man is saying, because he's onto something here. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. It's so important. Good. Yeah.
So daily actionable steps every single day. Now, as you're doing the daily actionable steps, this is where you were just talking about it, that 2 year period, right? Some people ask, how many reps do I need to do so I can bench 300 pounds, as many as it takes?
How many pounds?
Yeah. How many books do I got to read so I can learn this thing, as many books as you have to read? You know, like there is no number. So as you're going on these daily steps, you're going to be going through a dark tunnel. Anytime you're trying to achieve anything that's past your current level right now, you are going to go through a very, very dark tunnel. And this tunnel, from the moment you enter it till the very last part of the tunnel, however long it is, 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, 1 month, it's pitch black the entire way. Even when you're an inch away from the end of the tunnel, when you're finally going to reach success, it is still pitch black. And what happens is, just like you said, people quit because they don't have enough faith to understand that that light is there when you can't even see it. No matter what, like when you jump into the multifamily real estate stuff, you both had the vision. Like you clearly saw that you were going to accomplish something. So why would you ever quit along the entire way? I don't care how pitch black it is. Why would you quit when you clearly saw it? Like God put it in your head, said, hey, like you're going to do it. Like it's done. Just don't quit. You know, so you got to keep
pushing forward. How strong is your conviction? How much do you believe in it? Is that really the path for you?
Yeah. It's a faith. It's a faith part of it. So you've had the vision. You have the daily actionable steps. You're going through the dark tunnel. You're not quitting. You're staying strong enough, long enough. Now, as you're doing all this stuff, people are going to reach out for help. People are going to try to seek advice because they're trying to achieve different things, or maybe you try to achieve what you're trying to achieve. Always be willing to lend a hand and help. And that's what both of you do. You know, you have these podcasts, you do these things to help people learn, because when you help other people achieve their dreams, guess what? Your dreams get achieved too. So those are kind of my steps right there that I tell people on how to go after what they want. Like I'm not anyone special. I didn't have this, you know, crazy godlike talent in racing, and that's how I got into it. Or I didn't just have like this crazy, I didn't go through all this schooling for, you know, starting my own business and, you know, making money, because, you know, now I got this semi truck company, the auto racing events company, the esports company, now the real estate stuff too. Like I didn't have like some crazy business talent. Like I just figured out these few steps I just told you, and as long as I apply those to everything I do, like I can do anything I want, anything. Like if I want to go be an auto manufacturer right now and start my own car company, I can do it. Like because I already have the steps.
Do you mind if I recap that for everybody, Jesse?
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Number one, everyone write this down. Number one is mindset, and Jesse, you know, is the definition of the growth mindset. You know, when Edward Bresenius and Carol Dweck, that book, Mindset, growth mindset is somebody who's going to take the challenge, is going to stumble. They're not basing their skills on their intelligence. They're basing their skills on the hard work ethic. So that's what the growth mindset is. It's all that embodiment. Number two is the vision. You have a vision. You already see it in your mind. It may not be played out already, but you already see it. The third one is taking daily action. We say education times action equals results. You need to get educated, but you need to take that daily action, document it. Number four is do it, whatever it takes until you get there. And that's really vastly underplayed. We say patience, persistence. Patience and persistence will get you there. Number five, have faith to see the light. That light's not there. Then all of a sudden when the light comes on, you're like, wow, it came on. But it's to be able to stay there, to be able to see the light. And number six, lend a hand, be able to seek to serve. Don't give to get. Seek to serve is huge. And that's what Jesse's, you know, embodying with all of his other businesses. And with, you know, starting the NASCAR, he's not just feeding his family. He's feeding all the families that are on that team. So that's a huge shout out.
He just packaged your book for you right there, Jesse. hey, you guys know something funny here? He said strong enough, long enough. You know, Elon Musk almost sold or was going to pitch Tim Cook from Apple on buying it in some of the, like, the darker days when it was really struggling. And Tim Cook from Apple didn't take the meeting with him. You guys hear about this?
No, I didn't hear.
He just mentioned the, I could go start a car manufacturer. And he said strong enough, long enough. I'm like, man, good on Elon Musk for hanging in there, because he could have gave it up at a discount, but he stayed in there, and now it's paying off for him. So,
yeah.
Jesse, I have a question for you about all your different endeavors. Do you sometimes feel like you're getting pulled into too many different directions? Because we discuss the shiny object syndrome, and it seems like you have brothers and family members and team members to help you out. But sometimes that shiny object syndrome, what I call it, it's level 5 when I'm talking as a life coach. You see everything as an opportunity, and that may be great, and it is great. But at the same time, all of a sudden, your attention gets pulled somewhere. How do you fight against that?
You are exactly right. And it's funny you mentioned that, because that is what I began to start dealing with in the last 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through that right now, where I got to a point where, you know, started making money on different things, doing stuff. So then, you know, as a visionary, once you're really, really comfortable with being a visionary, you start seeing, you have this, you know, now this gift, you know, and it's not this thing that sometimes is naturally given to you. Sometimes you just start figuring it out by just your experience, but you start being able to see things, and you're like, oh, opportunity here, opportunity there, opportunity. So you see all these opportunities in the world, and it's really easy to be like, I'm going to jump into that and jump into that, because you become Superman, or you feel like you're Superman, that you can do it all. But at the end of the day, everything is somewhat finite. There's only 24 hours in a day. There isn't 25, there isn't 30. And as much as I've wanted to figure out a way to add more time to the day, there just isn't. So, you know, you got to understand, like, okay, I can only do so much. And really where I started to really kind of understand it was when I was listening to some real estate thing. And someone asked a question. It's like, oh, you know, why would I ask another real estate investor about advice on real estate? Because maybe they might take my idea of what I want to do. And then whoever the host of the show was like, I mean, yeah, that's always a, you know, potential thing that could happen. But at the end of the day, that investor can only buy so much land. Like, they don't have all the money in the world. So you can throw whatever ideas you have, but at the end of the day, they only have so much money, and they can only buy so much stuff. Like, that's why, like, there's deals out there. There will always be deals out there, because no one can buy it all, you know? So I was like, okay, let me apply that to kind of what I'm doing just in life. Like, I can't do it all. Let me just focus on what I can do, and let me do it really well. And let me find where my edge is, because we all have an edge on what we can actually handle. If we spread ourselves too thin, then we'll only be able to go an inch deep and like 10 miles wide instead of, you know, 10 miles deep and a few inches wide, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, it's a balance. It's tough. Everyone's different. Everyone can handle, you know, certain things. I'm obviously handling my multiple businesses right now, but, you know, I really don't want to take on any more than what I have right now. And I just got to build from what I have right now. Let me get that better. And then eventually form good teams of people who can handle that stuff, so that I can branch off to more.
What's your sole purpose?
My sole purpose in life right now is to accomplish everything God has wanted me to accomplish, right? Everything he's put in my head, go after and accomplish it. But while doing it, hopefully create some type of legacy, some type of path, some type of system that continues to create opportunities for others who are going after their goals and dreams. And they don't have to be going after what I'm going after. They don't have to be wanting to be a race car driver, or, you know, own a business, whatever it is, whatever they're trying to go after in life. I want them to use my platform, use what I've been able to create, and use it to either inspire themselves, learn from it, gain knowledge from it, advice, whatever it is, so they can go after and be everything that they were always meant to be.
So it's really interesting what you guys are talking about now, because you have to pick the right vehicle, because you can't do everything. There's going to be a finite amount of time, and you want to really, you know, push in on something. So how are you saying no to opportunities, and how are you identifying something saying, this is the right vehicle where I want to spend my time? Because a lot of people are like, they just want to find something to do. But then when you really get into entrepreneurship and you realize what's going on, you need to be selective with your time, and you need to be able to say no to certain things. So do you have a process for that, or how does that work on your end?
Yeah, there's no real process just yet because this is something newer for me that's starting to happen. I didn't realize I was going to get to this point. I thought I'd just keep taking on different things and doing
it. I can do it all, man.
Yeah, I can do it all. Yeah, so there's no real process. The main thing is just I look at, okay, what is going to have the most benefit for the amount of time that it's going to take? What is going to give the most benefits? And from there, that's what I figure out what I'm going to spend time on, you know? So I've had different opportunities come up, you know, even like recently in the cryptocurrency world, you know, and all that. And I started looking at it. I'm like, yeah, it could be great, but man, this other stuff is also good right now. And it's already being built and I don't have to put as much effort into it and it can continue to go up higher. So why not just put time in that, you know, instead of starting from the ground floor on something else right now? You know, and eventually, once again, it's all about creating teams. So when I get better at creating teams of people who can, you know, run the system so that the system can be truly a system, then I can start moving on to other things. But right now, I don't really have stuff in place that really creates these systems.
Think,
and
think
the place
of alignment
starting
of values as you grow with this. Is it aligning with my values? And we're talking about core purpose and thinking with the end in mind. So as you start to see more opportunities coming towards you, you know, is it going to build my greater enterprise or am I getting outside the weeds and is it going to be more of a distraction? Because you're going to see it the more you grow, especially and if the multifamily space and that becomes like the core business that you really try to enterprise, a lot of verticals and a lot of different things are going to get thrown at you. So I think that's one of the biggest challenge that young entrepreneurs face is just kind of getting that laser vision and seeing down the road to where you want to go.
Yeah, most definitely.
How did you get attracted to real estate, and even specifically multifamily real estate?
How did I get attracted to real estate? I had always heard that it's a great place to be in because I think when it really finally hit me was when someone said that, you know, Earth is Earth. There is no more land that God's going to create on Earth. Yeah, we can go try to make more, I don't know, islands and things like that. But really, there's not much more land that's going to be here. Like we have what we have. When it comes to any kind of marketplace in general, it's all about how rare something is because that, you know, that's a whole supply and demand thing. So land is here and it's not growing anymore, but there's more people trying to take more of it and there's more people who want it. So real estate will always be something that eventually will go up and up and up. You know, there land is more valuable now than it was 100 years ago. So boom, there you go. So I was like, it's a good place to be at. So from there, I listened to, I don't really like reading books. I like listening to audiobooks. So I listened to Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And immediately after that, listened to Cash Flow Quadrant. After listening to both of those, I was like, I need to get into some real estate. You know, now it finally clicked. So then I began doing research on it by listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos and all that stuff. And I would just do that every single day during my workout. I would put on a new podcast and listen to it. I listened to a whole bunch of different people and listen to their different strategies, learn from that. And that's what got me into it about, I think, 2019.
So this is the last long answer question before Jake takes over here. There are only 24 hours in a day. There are people listening to this saying, how do you do all that? How do you delegate hours to working out, hours to driving a car, hours to doing your production business, live events? How do you do all that? I mean, what, let me know because I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed listening to this and Jesse can do it, but I can't do it. How do I start? And to me, it's like when I have six kids, I didn't start out with six kids. I had one, then I had the next, then I had the next. What is your mindset? How do you prepare yourself to take on the day?
Yeah, you gotta be comfortable with utilizing all the hours of the day. Obviously, we all have to sleep. So I tell people, you know what, you probably need 6 to 7 hours of sleep a day. Don't listen to the folks who say, oh, you need 8, 9, like guaranteed every single day. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice, but like if you need to sleep 8, 9 hours, just sleep faster, right? You know, like sleep faster and do it all within that 6-hour period, 7-hour period. But do that so that you don't waste a lot of other time. So now your other 17, 18 hours that you have each day, you got to divide them out. I use my notes on my phone. So I just divide out my day on, hey, this group of hours, I'm going to spend it on this. This group of hours, I'm going to spend it on that. But if you plan it out like that and you hold yourself to that, even if you got to set an alarm where your alarm at 9 a.m. goes off so that you can start this, it goes off at noon so you can start this, it goes off at 1 p.m. so you can start that. If you got to do that, there's ways on your phone where your phone will basically order you to start doing something. If that's what you need, that's what you need. Mm-hmm. But divide out your day, plan it out early and often, and have lists of things you need to do and accomplish, and you can mark them off, because nothing feels better when you have your to-do list and you get to erase that one thing. Like, I did that, boom, accomplished. So use that. That's how I basically get to do all the things that I do.
I think you and Jake are related, because between Audible and having a daily checklist and wiping things off, I really think you guys are related somehow.
Yeah.
Hey, think about this, folks, what he's saying here. You didn't hear, you know, at 5 o'clock, I'm out, I'm going, and I'm going to eat my Taco Bell. Okay. I'm not going to Five Guys, and I'm you know, watching TV. Early on, especially more than ever, when you're starting in business, in entrepreneurship, you are working in the evening. This is how it works. And if someone's a lot better and they've
every evening,
out, yeah, if someone every. Has the life hack and they've figured it out, let me know. But in my experience, in Jesse's experience, in Gino's experience, you're going to work some evenings. You're going to work a lot of evenings, actually. You're going to be working in the morning before everybody else. My hack is this. My day starts right here in this chair every day at 6 a.m. And you know what? Typically, I'm 2.5 to 3 hours ahead of everybody else, and that shit works beautifully, okay? I'm going on offense, machine guns, around 8:30, you know, 9 o'clock, everyone else rolling in. I'm ahead of everybody. It's not that hard. This shit is simple. You just work your ass off in the morning, and then you know what? You're going to be working in the evening too. If you want more, if you want a life of abundance, if you want greater things for your family, it's going to take that level of commitment. It's as simple as that. So let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. All right, personal habit side of things, something you do on a daily or weekly basis that separates you from the pack.
Daily or weekly basis, personal habit. Well, definitely my physical fitness training. I stay on top of that 4 to 5 days a week, every single week, because your health is your wealth. Without it, you're not going to be anything. You're not going to go anywhere, because you'll just slowly die off. So I would say staying on my physical fitness stuff, that's what keeps me, keeps the stress off me, because there's a lot of stress that comes towards my way a lot, every single day. There's always a fire. I wake up to a fire a lot of days. I woke up to a fire this morning. So, yes, health is your wealth. So physical fitness, that is probably one of the most important things.
Any book recos, something you listened to recently that made a positive impact in your life?
Any, you said books?
Yeah, book recommendations.
Oh, book, yeah. So a couple of the ones I mentioned before. So, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and also Cash Flow Quadrant. Those two ones are very, very important. I highly recommend them over any other book besides the Bible.
That's the starting point. That's the baseline. Anything else?
Anything else after that? As a Man Thinketh. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, that one.
Little mindset action. Yeah,
that's very important, because when I started after Rich Dad Poor Dad and Cash Flow Quadrant, I clearly understood that one of his biggest messages in there is mindset. So I wanted to dive deeper into mindset. But I went to As a Man Thinketh, and then that really clarified a lot of things. I'm like, oh my God, this is why I've been able to accomplish anything in life, is because of this. And now this is confirmation that I need to continue to do this.
That's awesome.
give me a tip for someone starting to scale a business, because early on we call it the IMA mentality. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do everything. IMA will get burnout and you can't do everything yourself. So starting to scale a business, any tips for the listeners out there?
Yeah. In order to scale a business, you definitely need to have a system in place, right? So that system means that there is no one single point of failure. That means no matter what, whether you're there, whether this person's there, whether this person's not, whatever, the system continues to churn. Once you have that system, then you can truly scale a business. But if you have too many single points of failure, you can never scale, because the moment one is out, that's it. Like, things are starting to crumble. Things aren't happening. Things are staying stagnant. So truly create a system. Create a legitimate system with redundancies in people, because that's what I'm talking about. It's not about like systems. Automation helps a lot, but as far as people, you got to have redundancies with your people so that the machine always continues to move forward. That's, to me, the only way to truly scale.
You had a fire that you had to put out this morning. Did it give you an opportunity to reflect and put a system in place to avoid that phone call in the future?
It made me start thinking about the system I need to put in place. Yeah, but yes, because it's something that what happened this morning isn't something that happens often, but it has happened a few times in the past with other. This was for the trucking company.
Gotta kill it, man.
I gotta find some way to.
So think about this, folks. When you're getting those phone calls, if you get it more than once, you get it 2-3 times. Reflect on that and find a solution and put a system in place, because you don't want to be getting those phone calls. Because what's it going to do? It's going to screw up your mindset. And we know that to get through the day, to have a positive mindset, we want to enjoy our lives. Okay. So you need to put those systems in place to overcome that. What project are you excited about right now?
Project I'm excited about is getting this team started. This race team started. We want to have something started for the 2022 season. So working really hard to make that happen right now. And it's always been one of my dreams to have my own race team. So it's not easy, but we're working on it. And yeah, that's probably the most exciting one.
So how are you going to get there, man? What has to happen?
Putting together the right people in place, getting the right funding. And then once we have the people and the funding, getting the car parts and the race car, you know, all that stuff in the shop, all that stuff isn't very difficult. But it's really the people and the funding. So we're working on the funding. With the funding, we'll be able to get the people side right. So it's all a juggle, but it's something we're working on and, yeah, putting a lot of effort in.
All right. So if people want to be a part of that funding process, how can folks get a hold of you?
They can reach out to me on any of my social media channels. I'm on all the different social media channels, so Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that stuff. Just type in my name, Jesse Iwuji, J-E-S-S-E, I-W-U-J-I. And if you can't remember how to spell it, go on Google, type in Navy NASCAR driver, and I should be the only one that pops up for a few pages. And
you better, or your SEO there. System's broken.
Yeah, exactly. look for me there. Reach out if you ever wanted to be part of anything in NASCAR, whether you want to be a sponsor or whatever it is. Reach out. No matter who you are.
Jake and Gino logo on that car.
That was something you had to talk with my agent about. Matt Casco. he can give you those details. Because it depends how big you want it.
Jake's always selling, my friend. I like that. I like that, bro. I like that.
Gino, take us home here, big guy.
So give me a minute to recap this, Jake, because there's a lot of moving parts in Jesse Iwuji's story. First thing is his parents, they immigrate from Nigeria. His mom is working 20 hours a day, and I know the pain of that. Father was an immigrant also. And he takes that hard work and he sees the hard work, and he could really go one of two ways. He could really be bitter towards his parents and say they're never home, or he can say, man, this is what a person I want to look up to and I want to emulate. And that's what he does. He goes to play college at the Naval Academy on a scholarship, runs track. He goes to the Navy, 7 years in the Navy, continues that journey along, all the while knowing that he wants to put that entrepreneurial cap on. And he's working the Navy. That sounds like a passion, sounds like something that he loved to do, because he was serving others. He was protecting the country. He was serving the country, but he knew that he wanted to step out and get into that entrepreneurial world. And God put an idea of becoming a NASCAR driver. I don't know how that happened. He must have been sitting around and looking at a car one day, but what a great thought that was, getting out in a spotlight and in an area which is really demanding. It's not something that you can do really easily. So anybody out there listening that's making an excuse about getting into an endeavor needs to listen to the podcast 100%. Again. not making any excuses. And, you know, going from there, opening up various businesses, being the honeybee, being multifaceted in so many different endeavors, and ultimately seeing that, you know, having his family be part of the company and continue to have that vision and not having any of those limiting beliefs. Number one, everybody, mindset. Number two, vision. Number three, daily action. Number four, do until it takes to get done. Five, have faith until you see the light. And number six, seek to serve. I just want to thank Jesse for being on. What an amazing story.
Strong enough, long enough, baby. I love that. Yeah. Jesse, thanks, thank you Jesse. So much, man.
Thank you for having me.